How many of you are ready to do something great with your life? And the rest of you, how many of you know that God placed you on this earth because God has a great plan for your life? That you are not an accident, you're not a mistake, you're not a by the way. You have been appointed by God, you have been chosen by God for this hour. So I want to talk about the greatest generation that God is raising up. How many Daniels in the house? I know there's one evangelist over there. No, no, your real name is Daniel. Who feel Daniels is even on? Anyone got the Daniel is? Any Daniel? Daniel? Nobody. What was wrong with your parents that they never chose the name Daniel? How many Daniels? Well, one Daniel over there. And, well, I know the evangelist is Daniel. And there's another one. And there's Mohina. I want to talk to you tonight about the Daniel generation. The generation I believe God is raising up at this hour. A generation that is different. A generation that is not drowning, listen, in the noise of scrolling, comparing, and performing. A generation that refuses to fit in. A generation that is not trying to find their identity in what the world has to offer. A generation that chooses, and I believe it's the generation Z, the Alpha generation, the millennial generation, that you are the generation that is different by God's design, and you are going to make this world a better place. Come on, say amen in the name of Jesus. So God is not raising up a generation that blends in. He's raising up a generation with a different spirit that will stand out, like the Daniel generation. Daniel chapter 1, I want to read from verse 1. The Bible says, in the third year of the reign of Jehoiakim, king of Judah, Nebuchadnezzar, king of Babylon, came to Jerusalem and besieged it. And the Lord gave Jehoiakim, king of Judah, into his hand. And some of the articles of the house of God, which he carried into the land of Shinar, that's not China, to the house of his God, and brought the articles into the treasures house of his God. Then the king instructed Aspenaz, listen now, the master of his eunuchs, to bring some of the children, young men, young boys, and some of the king's descendants, and some of the nobles, young men, in whom there was no blemish, good looking. Come on, that sounds like a CRC young man, good looking, come on. You want to find a husband, you're going to find him in this place. Amen, girls. Not that you should be looking tonight, okay? I know when the camera sweeps, you're sitting down there in Potchefstroom and you kyk hierso in die Weiveld and you think, daar sit 'n vrou wat ek wil kry. Nee, los die Pretoriaaners alleen, asseblief. So gifted in all wisdom. Listen now, I'm talking to a generation that is different, that's going to change this world. A generation that walks differently, lives differently, talks differently. A generation that we need desperately to change our country. I sat with one of our key political leaders this morning, those of you that were here would know it was, and we spoke about a new mindset, a new generation that has to emerge in South Africa. People that are not color-coded, race-coded, social-coded, but people who are different because they know I hail from God, I'm born from above, I have God living on the inside of me, I can do all things through Christ who strengthens me, I'm a history maker, a world shaker, I'm part of the solution, I'm not part of the problem, in the name of Jesus. Hallelujah, that's you tonight. So these people were gifted. They possessed knowledge. How many of you are at university tonight? Lift your hand. Come on, lift your hand and say hallelujah. So you have to get some knowledge to get ahead. Quick to understand. Their brains were switched on. They had the ability to serve. Because you want to be great in life, you have to learn to become a servant. You don't start at the top. Only if you're a grave digger or you dig for oil. The rest of us start at the bottom. You climb your way up in life. You don't qualify and tomorrow you are a director because you don't have the experience and you don't have the character. So to get where God has called you to go, is going to take some time and some patience, something that our young people don't understand. I want it, and I want it yesterday. No, God has planned it for you, but there is a journey. You have to be sharper. You have to be smarter. You have to be quicker. You have to be a fixer. You have to be a problem solver, a possibility thinker in the name of Jesus. I think sometimes people think when they come to Jesus, they have to lose their minds. No, you don't lose your mind. You renew your mind. You fill your mind with God's word. You think differently. You think better than anything in the world in the name of Jesus. Come on. The sky is the limit, family. You are unstoppable in the name of Jesus. The only ceiling that you have is the ceiling in your mind in Jesus' name. Not the devil. So the king appointed for them daily provision of the king's delicacies, served on TikTok, and served on Instagram, and served on make-believe and education systems to distort values and to cancel culture. So he appoints, this is how you're going to live as a young person. Now remember, you need to think about this for a little bit. Daniel comes from Jerusalem. He's a young man, no older than 17 years. He's taken as a slave and he is made a eunuch. If you don't know what that means, go Google it. It means his productivity is taken away from him. He's castrated, in other words. He cannot produce. Yet he decides, no matter the odds against me, no matter the culture that I am in, no matter the captivity I find myself in, I'm going to be different. I'm not going to partake of this world. I'm not going to fit into this world. I'm not going to blend into this world. I'm going to be the stand-up person, and therefore I'm going to be the stand-out person in your company, in your business, in your school, in your university, because this world is designed to squeeze you into a mold, and everybody thinks it's the right mold. And I'm jumping a little bit ahead of myself, because the golden image that is set up that the Daniel generation had to face today would be the golden calf or image of social media. Because out of the likes you get, you determine your value. You watch people's reels and you compare yourself to the reel of somebody else. And it's always the best. It's the guy that pushes 200 kilograms bench press, but he doesn't show when he started at 20. Because everybody just places the best pictures on social media. And then you look at that and you think, well, I don't have that. I love a pastor in America, Ed Young, who's a good friend. One day he actually posted the truth on social media. He says, having a bad Sunday, and he stood like that, and his church was half empty. He said, it's holiday, and nobody's here today. Another time he said, it's raining, and nobody's here today. We like to show the highlights of our lives, and then we watch the influencers' highlights, and we get a wrong understanding of the reality of life. Everybody faces a battle. Everybody has highs and lows. Everybody wins at times and loses at times. Everybody goes over at times. Everybody falls at times. But here's the deal. Your attitude will determine that you're not going to stay down. Your attitude will say, I'm not comparing myself to somebody else. I'm created by God. I hail from God. I have the seed of greatness on the inside of me. I am different by God's design. Therefore, in my generation, I will stand out. Even if you did not play rugby or soccer or cricket, you may be the computer nerd, but one day all those other people are going to work for you. In the name of Jesus. Come on, all the computer lovers, say amen. So he appoints to them delicacy, sets it before them. The world trying to squash you into a certain direction. But Daniel, here's the key. Purposed in his heart, verse 8, that he would not defile himself with a portion of the king's delicacies, nor with the wine which he drank. Therefore, he requested of the chief of the eunuchs that he may not defile himself. And God gave him favor. Listen, we're in this world, we're not of this world. We live in this world, but we do not conform to the culture and the environment of this world. We are different because we are God's children And we choose to be different. We live different. So the key is Daniel purposed in his heart, his friends, Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego, their names were changed in Babylon. Daniel's name is changed. His identity is changed. His culture is changed. But he doesn't lose himself. He's a teenager. He's a teenager. Taken in shackles, taken in chains into a foreign country with a foreign culture. And there are certain laws placed upon him. And he decides in his heart, I will not bow. I will not conform. I will be different. I'll go to the party, but I will not partake what they partake of. I'll be different. I will not share their jokes. I will not share their racism. I will not be like everybody else. Why? Because I'm different. I'm a child of God. I'm born again. I have the Spirit of God on the inside of me in Jesus' name. So it's a huge deal. He's made a eunuch. His bloodline is taken from him. But he doesn't give up. He doesn't lie down. He doesn't say, there's nothing I can do. No. He keeps his eyes on God and he becomes his best version. Even though he's in a new culture. Even maybe you've come from a different place and you're now in a different culture. People are clapping their hands. Welcome to the happy clappies. At least we're not sucking lemons in this place. Come on, give the Lord a happy clappy. He now has to speak a new language. Ex-Afrikaans, ek preek in Engels. Figure it out. I mean, Daniel is Afrikaans name and surname. I preek Engels. He's Engelsman. So, a culture shock. Exposed to something you're not familiar with. He doesn't lose himself. A new language, different pressure, a new name given to him. You are this now. So Babylon, the world system, listen to this generation, is trying to rename you, trying to re-educate you, trying to challenge your values, trying to tell you what you must believe, trying to tell you what you should conform to fit in. And there's the problem with social media. TikTok, 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 TikTok. As long as your heart TikToks, you're okay. But while you scroll, you see a different picture. And unfortunately, as human beings, the mirror we look into is what we conform to. We value ourselves according to the image that we see. And the image we look at eventually becomes the image in our minds. So Babylon, the world system, is there to reprogram you. It's there to redefine you. Remember, we went through a season where nobody knew who they were. Am I a dog? Am I a cat? Am I a pigeon? Don't fall out of your seat. Last time I looked, God created male and female. And you can't decide today, I identify with being a cat. Even if you put on a cat suit, you are a human being created in the image and the likeness of God. But we went through a time of mass confusion on planet Earth where people just were struggling. I identify with being a tree. Okay, I'm going to rent you next year and put you in a corner and put the Christmas lights on you and you can be the Christmas tree in my house, right? But you can't be a Christmas tree today and a dog tomorrow and something else the day afterwards. You are who God created you to be. And I don't demean anybody. I'm telling you, you are who God created you to be. God made no mistake. He says to Jeremiah, before I formed you in your mother's womb, I knew you. I ordained you. I separated you. Before you kicked in your mother's womb, you already planned. You're an eternal spirit, and God had to find a gateway for you in planet Earth. And God said, I'm putting the spirit in a female body or a male body because this is my plan. This is my purpose for your life. So you are exactly who God meant you to be. So you be you and me be me. You stay in your lane and you don't compare with somebody else and you don't try to be somebody else because God is not a cookie cutter. God is an original creator. You are an original. Don't you dare become a copy of what this world is trying to make you. Don't you dare become a copy of what this world says is the right copy today, because fashion of 20 years ago is fashion of today again. You keep it long enough, it comes back into fashion. Because you can only make a tie so many different ways. Not like some of you say, I give my ties. No, it's a tithe. A tie is either slim, or it's this way, or it's broad, or whatever. You keep it long enough, it comes back in fashion. Bell bottoms. Now, I've got short legs, so bell bottoms don't work for me. I know what works for me by now. But some of you can wear bell bottoms. Some of us, when we were teenagers, we also had holes in our pants. But it's because we couldn't buy new pants. Back in those days, the mothers, remember that. You see, you'll think I'm ancient, but God is the ancient of days. I'm not. So our mothers never fixed that. They bought like a patch. So it had to be a very cool patch, right? But our mothers never got it right. They put a cherry on there and you're a guy. So you don't wear the pants any longer. Or we had holes, not like some of you today, you buy the pants with holes at the back. We sat on the pants so much and we washed it so many times that eventually there was nothing left. And if you were at school and you got a hiding, those days we still got hidings, not like our young people today that don't know what it is to get six a day. The maximum was six, and I sometimes had six. Then it was 10, then 4 stood over for the next day. Then I knew the next day I'm starting at 4, then the day after, and the day after. Kijk, later dan is jou bonus so seer, jy kan nie sit nie. En dan het jy 'n ding gehad wat ons genoem het, 'n bootvel. You say you know nothing about this as young people. You need to educate yourself. That is a tube, an inside tube that you take and you cut holes in it and you put it between your flesh and your underpants so that when you get a hiding, you don't feel it that bad. But the teachers wised up because our pants got so thin through use. Our clothes wore away. We were not like Israel in the wilderness, the way our clothes did not wear out. Our clothes wore out because we sat a lot. And then they would feel, and they say, ah. And then some of the boys were not very clever. They put toilet paper in there. And staan jou boude so. And the teachers knew if they hit you, they can hear. See, you had a boat fell. So six. Could only get six a day. That was our Babylon. You smoke behind the tuck shop. Then the biker, the system comes. Also, Roarback ter Blanche, kom kantoor toe. Because somebody always stole it at school. We got in a lot of trouble because we were lost. Amen. So Daniel purposes in his heart not to lose himself. He stood up, therefore he stood out. You know when people lose their minds, you have to stand up for what is right. When the conversation goes in a certain way, you cannot be quiet. You have to stand up and speak. Because your silence is your agreement. A different spirit begins with an internal decision. You don't wait until you're 40 years old. You stand out when you are 17, 13. Come on, all the teenagers, shout amen and give the Lord a praise. Come on, you teenagers. Because if you do not stand at school, you will not stand at university. And if you do not stand at university, you will not stand when you are employed as an intern anywhere. You have to make up your mind as a David, I will go and I will fight this uncircumcised Philistine. You have to make up your mind like a Daniel, a Shadrach, Meshach, Abednego. We will not bow to this graven image in the name of Jesus Christ. And when they try to force rubbish down your throat as a teenager at school, you get up. And you say respectfully, I will not expose myself to this garbage in the name of Jesus Christ. Without being rebellious, you stand up for your beliefs. You stand up because you will not be great if you always seek to be popular. You cannot be popular and effective. You have to make up your mind who you are, who your God is. Who determines your beliefs, your conversation, your value system, not your best friend, but your relationship with God. I wish we could just get back to the Bible so that when you open your mouth, what you say is in line with God's word and not your feeling, your emotion, your opinion. So Babylon rewards conformity, the world. It's cancel culture. Let's make everybody the same. Let's tone everybody down. That's why the school started rewarding people for just showing up. He has a certificate for coming to school. He has a certificate for you, the person that had the least absentee days. Well, listen, in standard 9, grade 11, I didn't go to school for 90 days. Actually, people thought I wasn't in school anymore. I bunked. I was never in school on a Monday, and I was never in school on a Friday, because my party lasted from Friday till Monday. Until eventually the principal called me and he said, "Now listen, you need to decide. Do you want to finish school in Grey College, or do I have to help you find another school?" And I made a decision, and I had to sign a black book that said, "I, Adam Johannes Jacobus, will not bunk again. I take full responsibility that if I bunk, I will be expelled." Because I was head boy in junior school, in the Ducks medal winner, and did great at sport and everything. But then in high school, I lost my mind. I got involved with the wrong people. I had older friends, much older than me, that mentored me, that discipled me in the ways of the world. And I wanted to fit in, because my dad was never at home. My mother was working two jobs. So what do? You find somebody to show you. And that culture changed me, taught me things, until I came into God's kingdom and I was exposed to a new culture, a kingdom culture, and I had to change my ways and decide, listen, the same boldness I had in the world, didn't care what people think. I had to display that same boldness in the kingdom of God, in the church of Jesus. And he has a challenge for me. When people sin, they sin loud. When people drink, they get loud. When people party, they are loud. But when they get saved and they have to stand for God, suddenly they become little mousy Mickey Mouse. Suddenly they cannot say anything. What about being filled with the Holy Ghost? What about the Bible says, do not be drunk with wine wherein is excess, but be filled with the Holy Ghost? How about being radical in the name of Jesus as a young person? Standing up in a conversation saying, this is not okay, in the name of Jesus. Standing up in the university saying, this is not okay. Why are some radical political people more radical about their belief than the Christians of God? We are the revolutionaries. We carry the fire of the Holy Ghost. We should be the ones that are unstoppable. We should be the ones that have made up our minds. We will not conform to this world, and we will not be silent in the name of Jesus. Listen to me. We will not be silent, because your silence means your agreement. So if I sit in a conversation and people want to go down a racist tone, I'll stop it. I say, it's not okay. It's not okay. University, when people made sexual comments about girls as they walked in and the light shone behind, I sat there. And all these manas sat there and they made comments about girls as they walked in. I said, it's not okay. I said, what you're doing is not okay. What would Jesus do? What you're doing now is not okay. The conversation stopped. Everybody became uncomfortable. Everybody started leaving, from the oldest to the youngest. Sounds familiar in the Bible, right? I didn't judge them. I said, it's not okay. I can't partake in this conversation. And there's always the guy that's decent that stays behind, right? That doesn't want to leave you. And you talk to that person and you say, no, I was just like that. I don't judge people. I was like that, but I've been born again. I'm changed. What you need is not another girlfriend. What you need is not another boyfriend. What you need is not another image. What you need is not more likes on social media. What you need is purpose. When you post, you should post purpose. When you comment, you should not be part of the toxic commentators. You should comment grace and mercy and truth in the name of Jesus Christ. You should control what comes out of your mouth and goes through your fingers, because you will give account to God for every idle word that you speak, whether it comes out of your mouth or whether it comes through your fingers. So Daniel didn't change influence. Influence changed him. Listen. When you serve God the way these people serve God, people will look for you. Because you're the standout person. You're the person of character. People know. You know, when we got saved as young people as well, people criticized us, but when the ball was struck the fan, they knew exactly where to go. Even relatives that criticized us. Yeah, he's now become a Jesus fanatic. Then somebody's in a hospital, they know who to phone. They go through a crisis, they know who to phone. They know who the true Christian is. They know who the person is in the class that doesn't conform. So when you carry yourself like a Daniel, you have a different spirit that comes from God. And the kings will notice. The employers will notice. Your friends actually will notice. And you will lose many of them. Because you refuse to compromise. You refuse to converse the way the world converses. You are different. Don't think if you follow God, all your friends are going to stay with you. It just doesn't happen. You follow God, you have to take the straight way. You have to walk the narrow road. You have to stay true to your calling, uncompromising, not judging people, but you have to walk. Even your enemies will notice and they will hate it. So when the time came for Daniel, the young man who purposed in his heart not to defile himself with the king's delicacies, he's examined and he stood out. And he was 10 times better. Look at the person next to you and say, you are 10 times better. Tell them. No. Do it with passion. Say you are 10 times better. That means you have the potential in you to be 10 times better. You're not Joe Average. The Spirit of God lives in you and you have the potential to be better. Because the Bible says the righteous is better than his neighbor. That doesn't mean you compete with other people. It means you're the best version that you possibly can be. It means you're on the journey of self-improvement all the time. You do not make excuses. You do not pull the victim card. Daniel could have done that. You do not pull the entitlement card. You just improve yourself. You grow yourself. You inquire knowledge, experience, skill, quick-minded. Huh? You watch some people drive, you know, their minds are working slow. Jesus. It's like, I don't know where you're going, but you're not going there very quickly. I understand if you're a learner, but not when you're 40 years old. By then you should have learned to drive. And get from A to B within the speed limit as quickly as possible. and move out of the way for the drivers, please. Stay in the left lane. Stay in your lane. There's a lane designed for you. There's a lane in life designed for the slow goers. For the people that choose to conform. For the people that choose to fit in, for the people that choose to make excuses, for the people that choose to abdicate responsibility, there's a lane, a safe lane. You can stay there, but leave the fast lane. Listen, I'm going to go to Germany one day and I'm going to drive that Autobahn. I'm telling you, it's going to be legal and it's going to be fantastic and I'm going to hire the fastest car that I can just to do what I need to do while I'm alive on this earth in the name of Jesus. They find you in that lane if you drive under 220. I want to go drive 300 kilometers an hour in the left lane in Germany. How many of you feel me tonight? Come on, man. Not just the same old, same old, same old, same old. When you go to the restaurant, you order the same thing. When you come home, you sit and watch the same soapy. Everything is the same old, same old, same old. Come on. If you still have hair, just part the other way in the name of Jesus. If you always wear black, go and get a pink dress in the name of Jesus. You're going to look beautiful. Just take a little risk in your own life and don't be this boring, beige, bland person conforming to what the world says is beautiful. No. David says, you are fearfully and wonderfully made. David says God created you in his image. God says you are perfect. God says there's nothing wrong with you. God says you lack nothing. Stop trying to please your mommy and please your daddy and please your friends and begin to focus on heaven and please your heavenly Father. Because I'll tell you this, when you please your heavenly Father, sometimes you will displease your earthly parents. You walk heavenward. You serve God first. You don't conform to this world. Your three friends. And you make decisions based on their feelings, their emotions. And you make a decision based on somebody else's reaction. That's not going to go well for you. You walk with God by yourself and you listen to God. And I'm amazed when I talk to people and they say to me, I've made a decision, blah, 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 blah. And God doesn't feature one way in that decision. They don't tell me God spoke to me on this day, such a time in the morning, and they write it. No, I am making a decision based on my feeling, based on my emotion, based on this. If you do that, you're going to do that for the rest of your life. You're going to do it when you raise your children. You're going to do it when you are married. You are going to do it in your job. No, you have to spend your time with God. You have to make up your mind like a Daniel. Even if there's a decree passed that you may not pray, you open the window wider. You praise God louder. You serve God better in the name of Jesus. You do not bow. You don't backslide if your friends backslide. You say, I'm sorry. I love Jesus more than you. I like you. I love you. But I love Jesus more than you. I have decided to follow Jesus Christ. I'm not making a decision every day of my life. Say amen, man, in Jesus' name. So when people talk to me, I always wait for the moment they say, God said. And if God said, you'll remember exactly the place and the time. Because I've heard God speak to me many times. And I'll tell you exactly. I was driving under that bridge, God spoke to me. I was in Toronto, God spoke to me. I woke up 2 o'clock in the morning, God spoke to me. Everything I can say, pinpoint, accurate. Not I made a decision based on X, Y, Z. Oh, but my friends, go pray to your friends. Amen. No, come on, give the Lord a praise. 30 seconds, television. God still talks to us. We need to drown out all the other sound, feelings, emotions, and people, and social media. There's a lot of noise out there that's trying to steal your attention. Get yourself back in your prayer closet like a Daniel. Pray, stand for God, and God will stand for you. God bless you. In Jesus' name, amen. So they are found 10 times better when they're examined. I like this. They were not just surviving in Babylon, made a eunuch, a slave, tested, pressure. Today, people don't want pressure. It's like people say, I'm stressed out. Listen, stress is part of life. You're not going to live life and pursue anything and there's no stress. You need to learn to manage your stress. I feel under pressure. It's good for you because diamonds are made under pressure. There's no life where you just float around in a bubble and things just go easy. It's not reality. It's the person that stands out, that takes the path of least resistance. The person that is not double-minded. The person that knows, heard, and he stays the course. Like Daniel, Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego. So they're not just surviving, they're thriving. They're 10 times better. Listen, young people, God does not call any believer, no matter your age, to a life of mediocrity. He calls you to a life of excellence. He calls you to a life of discipline. Everybody say discipline. Say it. Because people don't like that word today. Discipline. Mr. D, Mr. I. Discipline. Discipline. Je moet doen wat je niet wilt doen. Je moet doen wat andere mensen niet wilt doen. Discipline. You pray when other people play. You say no when other people say yes. Because you have purposed in your heart not to be defiled by the delicacies of the world. God calls you to a life of integrity. God calls you to a life of wisdom, to be sharp and to be smart. And you all are created in God's image. The lights must be on. The lights must be on. Not when somebody talks to you. I'm not insulting anybody. Get the lights on. And the lights come on the more time you spend in God's Word. The more time you spend in prayer, the more time you spend in the Word of God, the more you become conformed to the image of God. You need to be quick. When you work and they're talking about solving a problem, your brain should be working like this. And should come with a solution. Because it's in you. You find the way. Because you have the Holy Spirit living in you, guiding you. So you don't stand out by being loud on social media. Listen, you stand out by being excellent, by being different. And some of you should go fast social media because it's messing up your mind. I know it's not popular to say this to young people, but it's the truth. You're addicted. If you didn't own the cell phone, if it was a book, I would have an offering, not an offering, we would burn your things. Because you have to lay it down. If you can't control it, it's controlling to you. It's talking to you all the time. It's listening to you all the time. You're being watched. You're being listened to all the time. You have to put it down. If I go to a restaurant, that stupid telephone doesn't go with me. Cell phone, I mean. I leave it. I have to engage with people. The challenge of this new generation is they can't engage. They're talking in a cyberspace that's not real. And then they start connecting with one another via cyber, via social media. No. What about going to the girl and saying, hello? Not trying on social media, like, who's going to notice me? Walking up to him in church. No, don't do that. Walking up to her in church and say, hello. And I say, if you say, hello, then you're not going to know what to say. Because you're communicating behind the safety of a screen. You've learned that your world, it's a bad world. It's not a real world. It's a lie. It's a make-believe world. It's a world you can never live up to. It's a conversation that is endless. It is seeking affirmation that can never come. Use it as a tool to promote your business. And if you want to post, post purpose. Not, look at me. I watch them in gym all the time. Why they do it, I don't know. It's like, and then you post it to get what? To get what? And then your husband goes and he looks at that and he sees all the men that comment and he says, what's wrong? Oh, no, I just posted an innocent picture. Nothing innocent about that. Seeking attention. Seeking affirmation. Living in this world as an orphan, yet you have a father. Seeking affirmation, which is fabricated. Which is deceitful. Some of you are conversing with AI all the time. You even are talking to AI as if AI is a person. You say, please, will you do this? Please what? And after you have an answer from AI, you say, thank you. You're talking to that thing as if it's alive. Please show me the latest thing on medicine. Brr. Thank you very much. Will you please, because you're so careful of that thing because you think it's a person. Because AI is learning everything about you while you talk to AI and you're having this conversation all the time. And watch your language. I tested that stupid thing the other day. And I know it's yet to stay. And I asked a question and answered me. I said, no, I don't agree with anything you said right now. I don't want to say what I asked. I said, I don't agree with anything that you say. He said, oh, sorry that I offended you. I will try again. And I said, oh, thank you very much for being so sensitive. You're more sensitive than any human being. So let's have a conversation. And then he dared to say, call me Adam. I say, you don't know me? Don't call me Adam. You don't know me. Don't call me by my name. But you're going there, hello, this is Adam, and you know, I've been missing you all day, and I just have to ask you a question about how to catch the attention of a guy. Then he says, you've got to. You know what I'm saying is true. What was that now? I missed that. Some of you have a love relationship with social media. You need to call that AI. Hello, my Livy. Been missing you. It's not a real world. Do you understand that? But you've been born into this. And I understand that AI holds a future to a lot of things, etc. But it shouldn't hold your heart, and it shouldn't hold your mind, and it shouldn't hold your culture, and it shouldn't have your identity in the name of Jesus Christ. It is a computer. It's a computer. Same with TikTok. TikTok. Feeding you all the time. Distorting the image of Christ in you. You don't even realize it. Having conversations that affect your morals, your values. Showing you things that become a norm, which is Babylon, and it's not. The norm is who God created you to be. And you need a purpose to be different, not religious. There's a big difference. So I'll close. John 17, verse 15. Jesus prays, I do not pray that you should take them out of the world system, but that you should keep them from the evil one in the world system. The only time you're going to leave this world system is when you die. But while you're alive, you have to contend with the culture of this world, the issues of the day. It says, they are not of the world, just as I'm not of the world. Sanctify them by your truth. Set them apart. Keep them separated from the world through your truth. Your word is truth. God's word. So although you are present in culture, you are not shaped by it. The world says, follow the latest trends. God's spirit says, follow truth, which is the word. The world says, express yourself louder. The spirit of God says, surrender yourself more. The world says, you've got to blend out or you'll be an outcast. Spirit of God says, you've got to stand out to fit in with your heavenly Father. Social media says, build a larger platform. Create an image and make people believe. Chase validation. A different spirit says, I don't need likes to establish my worth. I am a child of God. I am born again. I hail from God. I belong. I'm adopted. Nothing can change that. So when you post, don't post for attention. Everybody say amen. Say it. When you post, don't post for attention. Everybody say amen. When you post, don't post for attention. Everybody say amen. When you post, don't post for attention. Everybody say amen. When you post, don't post for attention. Everybody say amen. Because you'll post that and the likes are going to come and the hearts are going to come and all the nonsense is going to come. Then you're going to go push that and see who the person is that liked you. Then you go like their nonsense and there you get yourself trapped. Bible says that finds a wife, finds a good thing. So I know some of you have found your wife on a dating website, but I suggest that's not the best place to look. Come to church. Pray until your wife manifests. Amen. Not manifest demonically. I mean, pray until she comes into manifestation, reality. God will bring your wife to you. God will bring your husband to you. But too much looking will get you in trouble. So don't misunderstand the Bible says that looks for a wife. Not, it doesn't say that looks. So instead of comparing your life to edited highlight reels, thank God for your own lane. You don't measure your identity and your worth by your amount of followers. It's a disease among Christians. You measure it by God's faithfulness in your life. and you staying the course. You stand like a Shadrach, a Meshach, and Abednego when Nebuchadnezzar set up that gold image. That was the world system of the day, and he commanded everybody to bow to it. One of the first times of civil disobedience. There's a place for it to stand against an unjust, ungodly system. We don't bow, we don't conform, we're not pressurized to do anything that's anti the word of God. When Pharaoh killed all the babies, the first message of civil disobedience were the women that protected the male children, Moses being one of them. They didn't allow the kids to be killed. They obeyed their God. So when Nebuchadnezzar heated that furnace more, and I know it's challenging as a young person in this world, because everybody is into it, but you're not everybody. You are different. Say I'm different. Say it tonight. Come on, say I'm different. Come on there in Bloemfontein. I'll be with you all in Bloemfontein next week. Say I'm different, Johannesburg. I'm different. I know what I'm saying now is foreign to your mind. And you're saying, Pastor, you're old-fashioned. No, I'm talking about you being God-fashioned, not to be fashioned according to this world. You are different in the name of Jesus because you are born again. You are blood-washed. You're a child of God. So those young boys said, we will not bow to this image. We will not become a part of this world system. Our God whom we serve is able to deliver us, but if not, we will not serve your gods. That's the Daniel generation. That is a different spirit. That is a generation that says, I will stand for God. God will deliver me. And if he doesn't deliver me, it doesn't matter. The only thing you can do is you can kill me and I'll go to heaven. The pressure today is not a golden statue. The pressure today that you are faced with as young people is social pressure. It is a pressure that says cancel culture. I'm not talking about your Xhosa culture, your Sotho culture. I'm talking about the culture of the day, your morals and your values. You conform, you accept, you fit in. That is canceling culture. The pressure of the world today is online validation. The pressure of the world is to cancel your identity. Think what we went through as a world a few years ago. When this whole plague came upon our earth, when a whole wave came upon our earth, and suddenly everybody doubted who they were. That is the spirit of the world. Wants to rob you of your identity, rob you of your potential, cancel your culture, put everybody on the same level. No, Daniel said, even if that's what Babylon says, I'm not going to fit into what Babylon says. I'm going to be 10 times better. How? By serving God, by praying to God, by worshiping God, by standing for God, by reading the Word of God. I'll be different by the power of the Holy Spirit in Jesus' name. And people will see it. So the furnace today is not the furnace that they were in, but it's a furnace of public opinion. But when you stand for God in your generation, remember the fourth man will show up in the fire. Daniel 3 verse 24, King Nebuchadnezzar was astonished and he rose in haste and spoke, saying to his counselors, did we not cast three men bound in the midst of the fire? And they asked and they said, true, O king, look, he answered, I see four men loose. Hallelujah. It's time for this generation to be loose and to be free from the stranglehold of the devil in the name of Jesus Christ, to walk loose in the fire, to be different by the power and by the presence of the fourth man, the Lord Jesus Christ, who will not forsake you and abandon you. I see four men loose walking in the midst of the fire, and they are not hurt. And the form of the fourth is like the Son of God. So these are people, Daniel generation, and I'm going to close right here, are people who think differently. Think differently. You think like everybody else, you are everybody else. You talk like everybody else, you are everybody else. You live like everybody else, you are everybody else. You're not. You're what? You're a child of God. You're born again. You have God living in you. You are sanctified. You are separated. You are washed. Bible says, you do not belong to yourself. You're bought with a price. That boy sitting next to you, he doesn't own you. He doesn't own your pinky. He doesn't own your lips. He definitely doesn't own your knee. Until you're married, you don't have immunity status. So when you kiss, it's a spit transfer. There's nothing romantic about it. Some of you guys want to kiss all the time because you can't have a conversation. But girls are looking different today. They're actually looking for men with a brain. Not just somebody that's, I'm sexy and I know it. I'm cool and I know it. No. Somebody that can actually talk. Talk. How was your day? And see if, then you say, how was your day? And she talks and you say, I missed you because you have nothing to say. And then you just want to kiss her. And tomorrow you do the same. And the same, and the same, and the same. And the same. You courtship, you first do group dating, but then you have to get to know one another and delay physical affection so that you can actually see whether that girl has a brain and whether he has a brain. Can they actually talk about everything? Can they talk about politics? Can they talk about the war in Iran? Can they talk about Gaza? Can they talk about Russia? Can they talk about politics? Can they talk about economy? Can they talk about issues other than, oh, jy lyk so prachtig vandag. Oh, and jy lyk so handsome. Yeah, and? Tomorrow, how my life is so mooi. Oh, boek jy so mooi. And when you go on a date, the guys are over there, the girls are over there, so you never actually get to know the guy, and you get married and you figure out, we don't know one another. Because you've never had a conversation other than, oh, I like your eyes. You've got your lips. You know, you make my heart skip a beat. And you're like, amazing. He must be the prince on a white horse. Amazing. Okay. Stop talking to me about my body and start talking to me as a person. Let's see who you are. Nie cricket nie, want sy stel nie cricket belang nie. Nie soccer nie. Have a conversation. Talk about the things that matter. Talk about God. That's a good thing to talk about. God, what do you believe about God? God. But you want to date me. You are dating me because now I'm 23 and I think I'm getting too old. So I need a boyfriend. So let's not start at the right point, which is God. Let's just talk about your eyes and your hair and all the things that build nothing. Talk about the foundation. Talk to me about God. Tell me, when did you meet Jesus, young man? Sitting there breathing heavily on the other side of the table. Let's get some control. I don't care if it's your first date, especially your first date, because you'll take the water out of him, or the fire out of him, put douse him with water instantly. Say, talk to me about Jesus. I didn't take you, bring you on a date to talk about Jesus. You know, we can talk about that on Sunday. So what are you getting into? You're getting into an upside down relationship. You're getting into a relationship that's not going to last because Jesus is not the foundation. You just want to be liked. You just want to be noticed. Please listen to me. You want to be noticed. What do you believe? What do you believe about the Bible? What do you believe about Jesus? What do you believe about salvation? What do you believe about baptism? What do you believe about the local church? What do you believe about serving in God's house? What do you believe? Because you cannot love anybody else more than you love Jesus Christ. You cannot. Jesus said, if you love anybody more than me, you are not worthy of me. Therefore, your first conversation with Mr. Romantic, that I've so fine-tuned the art of romancing girls, the first conversation you should have is, talk to me about Jesus Christ. Tell me, when did Jesus come into your life? Tell me when you got saved. Tell me when you got baptized. Tell me when you got filled with the Holy Spirit. Talk to me about Jesus. Don't talk to me about your muscles and your biceps and you speel eerste span rugby. Want jy gaan nie vir ewig eerste span rugby speel nie. Jy is nou in matriek. Volgende jaar as jy student, dan speel jy derde span. And when you're 40 years old, you still wear the PT pants of your first team when you played. Because that was your claim to fame. Now you've got one of those worn out shorts. And you talk about 20 jaar terug, jy het 'n baie potensiaal gehad. A lot of potential 20 years ago. You know, 20 years ago, I was going to play. But you know, okay, we're not talking about 20 years ago. We're talking about now. Now, where are you now? Where are you standing now? What are you believing now? And this is a make or break for relationships, because I've seen too many beautiful young people that love God, and along comes a spider. I mean, along comes a hey, babe. And they just have that way. Swag. Smooth. It's like that late night talk show host. Been thinking about you all day. You think, he's been thinking about me. I must be special. You are special. You're special in God. You're special by God's design. You're special. You're beautiful. You're created by God. Please listen to me. Don't let this world come and put its tentacles in you. You keep yourself pure. You keep yourself separated. You keep yourself unspotted, undefiled. You keep Jesus at the center of it all. You don't allow political influence to move you away from your Christian, your belief, your persuasion. You don't allow anything to move you from your belief in God. Nothing. Nothing. You don't run with the crowd, because the crowd is not right. Jesus, Hosanna, next day, crucify him. You don't want to run with the crowd. You want to walk with God and play for the audience of one. And realize that your walk and your talk, he's watching. You can have the whole world agree with you and God disagree with you. You'll give account. You need God's validation. And if you make a destiny decision, you better have a time when you marry, you join a church, you leave a church, you leave a move. You better bring God into the equation. Bring God into the equation and do it for God's glory. Now you do it because of A, B, C, D, E, F, G, H, I, J, K, L, O, don't give me the alphabet. Tell me God spoke to me and you'll give account. You'll stand before God and give account. Because the minute you say God said, you will give account. The Bible says, beware of those who say the Lord said and he never said. You'll give account. When you say something, you better know that you are influencing people. And if you're not talking on behalf of God with a date, a place, a time, you're talking on behalf of yourself, influenced by something different. Babylon, Shadrach, Meshach, Abednego, and there were many other Jews that were taken in slavery. We don't know any of their names. We don't know their names. We know the names of these four boys. Because the rest conformed, rolled over, blended. These four stood out and they made it in the Bible. You be that person. You be the Esther, but now it's the Daniel generation. You be the Daniel. You be the Daniel. You purpose in your heart not to partake. And you say, Pastor, there's a price. There is. It cost Jesus his life to go to the cross. Cost him everything. He did it because he loves you. He died for you to save you, to secure you, and to protect you. You belong to Him. Your life is not your own. Serve Him, love Him, walk with Him, and you'll be okay for the rest of your life. Even when the fire comes, He'll be there. Even when people try to sideline you, He'll promote you. When people betray you like Joseph, God will be there. In the pit, the pot, the prison, He'll be there. In His time, He will put you in the palace if you hold on to Him and to His word and to His promise for your life. Don't lose yourself. Don't lose yourself for a boy. Because that guy that takes you out of church today will not marry you tomorrow. If he had respect for you, he would follow Christ. It's not a game. Outside of Jesus, we have nothing. You need to listen to me. Outside of Jesus, we have nothing. Outside of Jesus, we have nothing. And I'm not saying you can't be cool, but your cool is not going to cut it. I can't say you can't be a media influencer, because God needs the influencers in the social realm as well as He does in culture, as He does in entertainment, sport arena, etc., etc. But you don't bow there. When I was the chaplain of the rugby team Springboks for many, many, many years, for over 10 years, I saw the difference between the people that would not go mess around on tours and the people that made a stand for God. And those who stood for God on the tours are those men who still serve God today. They did not live by the rule, what happened in England stayed in England. They lived by a different rule because they were different. They partnered with different people in their rooms. I was there. I tell you many stories, which I won't. I saw it all. What would Jesus do? Little bracelet doesn't cut it, buddy. It's standing. Standing. Come on, man, standing. Shining as a light in the midst of a crooked and perverse generation. Come on. Oh, come on, stand to your feet and give the Lord a praise. You make up your mind to be that different one, to be the Daniel of your generation, the Donnell. You be it. There in Potchefstroom. Kom aan daar in Bloemfontein, daar in Kaapstad, waar jy ook al is. You make up your mind to be the standout person in the name of Jesus. Not to sell out. This message is not to bring condemnation, but to bring clarity. So much pressure. And that word says, do not be conformed to this world. Don't be squeezed into the pattern of the world. That's what the world does. It's like a pressure. It's like a python that pressurizes, tries to squeeze you into a mold. No. You stay in the word and you stay true. And God will never leave you. He'll never abandon you. Every head bowed, every eye closed, no one moving, please. That's the most beautiful story. It doesn't matter what you have done, that God loves you. No matter how worldly you've been, God loves you. No matter how many times you've sinned, Jesus paid the price for your sin. No one moving now, please. You've come here tonight and you say, I don't know Jesus. You live in this world and you don't know Him. If you died, you don't know that you'll go to heaven. You've never surrendered your life to Jesus Christ. Or maybe at one time you did and you've drifted away. Maybe people influenced you, because the Bible says evil communications corrupt good morals. Good people go bad because of bad relationships. When somebody gets offended, that offense is passed on to other people. It's not just about sin. It's about bitterness. It's about offense. It's so many things. Division, strife, whatever it is, jealousy. Stay away from those people. Keep your heart with all diligence. Stay separated. Protect yourself. You're standing out today, you say, Pastor, I need a fresh start with God. I don't want to be part of this Babylon system. I don't want to be con. I don't want to fit in. Yes, I'm going to live in this world and I'm not going to change my clothes. Yeah, maybe some of you should change your clothes, but I'm just going to be different. I'm going to be different. I'm going to be different inside. I'm going to be different. I want to follow God. I want to surrender my life to Jesus. I want to surrender all to Him. I want to pray for you today, because God's not your judge. He's your Savior. But you have to take a stand. You're part of the world or you're part of His kingdom. There's no in between. There's no Sunday Christianity. There's a relationship with God through Jesus Christ. Today, many of you have to make that decision. They're in Bloemfontein, the thousands there in Johannesburg today. God's not your judge, He's your Savior. His arms open wide and He says, come to me. Don't get lost in this world system. Don't get lost. Now is all you have to give your life to Jesus. You have no guarantee of tomorrow. As young as you are, You have no guarantee. You say, I don't want to hear that. It's reality. We have funerals in this church all the time. Young and old, babies, people die. People live. Today, God's talking to you in your heart. You say, how do I know this? You feel it. You feel. I need to get right with God. Every head bowed, every eye closed, no one moving. That's your desire tonight. You say, I want to surrender my life to Jesus. I want to come back to God. I want to get right with God. If that's your desire, wherever you are quietly, raise your hand. I want to say a prayer for you quickly, all over this place. Don't think about it. Lift your hand up quickly. Up, 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 all over this place. God bless you. Many hands. Lift it up. Say yes, yes, yes. God bless you, bless you. God bless you, God bless you. There in Johannesburg, lift your hand. Lift it. Lift it up. Dis hierdie ding met die lofsang. Tel hom op. In jou hart voel jy God praat met jou. Dankie, 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 dankie. Baie van julle vanaand. Vergeet jou twee vriende. Ek was saam met my twee beste vriende in 'n kerk, klein gebou. I gave my life to Jesus. They never did. They never did. Don't let your friend pressurize you. You make the decision in your heart tonight to get right with God, to come back to Jesus. Last time before I pray, if not yet raised your hand, slip your hand up quickly. Slip it up. Slip it up. Up. Hoog in Jesus' name. Thank you. God bless you. God bless you. Raise it up. Amen. Please look at me. Many of you raised your hands. Many of you brought your friends to church. They're in Bloemfontein, Johannesburg, Potchefstroom, Kimberley, in all the churches with us, Gaborone, Windhoek, wherever you are, God's Spirit is right there, God's talking to you. This is a sacred moment, it's a holy moment when God works in your heart. You have to respond. So all over this place, if you raised your hand in all our churches, or you brought somebody today and you feel the Holy Spirit reaching out through you to that person, then you bring that person to the altar. So all over this place, I want you to leave your seat, don't think about it. You've raised your hand, you did not. You want to get your life right with God, leave your seat wherever you are and walk down the aisle closest to you to the front of the church, which we call the altar area, where we dedicate and give our lives to Christ. Come on, don't think about it. Leave your seat and come tonight. Come home to the Father. Receive God's forgiveness. Receive a brand new life today. Come on there in Potchefstroom, Jong Studenta. Daai pragtige gebou daarso. Daai gebou is gebou vir jou. Om jou siel te red in die naam van Jesus Christus. Kom vanaand. Kom jy vanaand. Neem jy die besluit vanaand. Wees jy die Sadrach, die Mesach, die Abednego. Wees jy die Daniel vanaand. Neem jy die besluit vanaand in Jesus naam. Want is jou besluit. Wat jou toekoms sal rig. Wat jou leven sal rig. Wat alles in jou leven sal verander. Jy neem die besluit. Ek gaan my hart vir die Here gee. I'm going to give my life to God. I'm done with sin. I don't care how young you are. You can be all sinned up at 17 years old. I was all sinned up at 17 years old. Today is a turning point in your life. Today is a new beginning for you. Come on, God's talking to more of you. Leave your seat and come unashamedly. In the name of Jesus Christ, come to the altar. Give yourself to Jesus tonight. Come on there in Bloemfontein. Keep walking, 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 walking. There in Johannesburg, come on those UJs. David Studenta. Come on. UJ, come on. Down there in Cape Town, UCT, come on. Stellenbosch, come on. Potchefstroom, come on. You're not just there to get a girlfriend. You were brought to Potch to get saved in the name of Jesus Christ. You come. Come receive forgiveness tonight. Receive a new beginning. You will be a revolutionary for God in the university. This is your time, your change. I feel the Holy Spirit drawing more of you. I'm going to give you one more minute. Come on, clap, church. Clap, clap, clap. Come to Jesus tonight. Come to Jesus tonight. Come, come, come. Come on, look at all those people in Johannesburg. Look at those masses in Bloemfontein getting saved. Come on. People say young people are going to hell. No, they're coming to Jesus Christ. When the enemy comes in, the Spirit of God will lift up a flood against him. We are going to see the greatest revival among this generation, said Alpha Generation Millennials. A move of God, because you are different by design. You are going to reform society. You are going to change politics. That's who you are by God's design. This is your time. You're not going to wait till you are 40. You're going to do it in your 20s and in your 30s. This is your time. I said this is your time. You better start believing it. This is your time. You were born for this hour. When you discover your purpose, everything will change. Let's rejoice with the angels in heaven. CRC, this is our mission. Win the lost at any cost. Come on, this is what we do. This is our calling, and we will not lose our focus on it. Plunder hell and populate heaven. We're not here to play church. We are here to get people saved. To go win our friends and our backsliders and the prodigals. To stay on our mission, focused. Stay focused. People are dying without Jesus Christ. Jy gaan sokkie vanaan, morgen is hy dooi die mens, dan gaan hy persoon hel toe. Jy sê, hoe kan jy dit sê? Wel, sonder Jesus gaan hy hel toe. Dit is nie tyd vir mooi praatjies nie. This world wants to pacify everybody. And it's all roads lead to Rome. And we are tolerant of everybody else's belief. But we believe there's only one way to Jesus Christ. One way to the Father. Not many ways. Not everybody gets saved. Otherwise, Jesus died in vain. So get over those vain conversations. He came to his own received him not. But as many as received him, to them he gave the power to become sons of God. You don't get saved outside of Jesus Christ. Your works doesn't do it. You can pray 50 times a day, it doesn't get you saved. And we need to begin to believe this. And not think everybody will stand before God and be judged differently. If you're not in Christ, it's a different judgment. If you stand before God in Christ, you have been judged, past tense. So we need to get on with the work. We are lights. The Bible says, shine as lights in the midst of a crooked and perverse generation. And if you're not ready for this, you're not ready for Christianity. There's no compromise. There's no halfway. There's no mediocrity. You're a child of God. He's ambassador. You're at university as an ambassador. You do business as an ambassador. So while you study, you're an ambassador of God. So if people talk more about you than Jesus, you need to check your social media. Because I don't want to lose followers. I suggest you lose some followers so you can gain traction with others. Amen. We're not of this world. Please listen to me. I'm trying to protect you. You can be strong in what you expose yourself will break down the walls in your mind. And if you look at something long enough, you believe it. You listen to some. I don't even listen to any nonsense. I don't listen to anything that's negative. Even about our country, I refuse. Because I have God's word. I know what's happening in the world, but I don't listen to everybody's opinion. Because, you know, we are like dogs. Every dog barks. Everybody has an opinion. That opinion better be in line with God's word. You need to listen to me carefully. Every idle word that proceeds from your mouth. The Bible says you'll give account. Every word. Careful what comes out of your mouth. Careful. Careful. If you can't put God in the conversation, don't have it. If you can't boast with God in the conversation, don't boast. Nobody cares about your big muscles. You can go do your bicep for your wife. But don't splash it on social media. We're not interested. You don't have to put your bikini picture on social media. And you're married. And we don't want to see your new car either. We don't want to see your house. You know why? Because you provoke other people to jealousy. Like people, I just bought a Ferrari. The Lord has blessed me. Two things. Now the tax man is coming for you. And then I watch people say, then it's a 20, 5-year-old in a that drives, everyone says, "Oh, well done, you deserve it, you deserve it." Because his daddy is wealthy, now he drives a Ferrari, and everybody goes, "Young people, your generation, like, oh, you deserve it, wonderful, great, fantastic." What's wonderful about that? He didn't work for it. It's a false belief. Right? Just be real, man. Be real. Where have you ever shown a true picture of yourself? Where? People put these pictures on, "We the perfect family." And I know everything about them. We're perfect. Now let's put the other days on as well. When your wife has got no makeup on, when she's shouting at you, why don't you post today, "We just had the worst intense fellowship ever." No, you sit there while you have a little glass of wine and say, "Oh, so fantastic." Stop that nonsense. I've counseled enough people to know everything. I've seen it all. I've heard it all. And everybody goes through ups and downs. Everybody hurts at times. Everybody at times, oh, you don't know. But then you put out there, "I've slain the lion." But what about the time that you sat under the tree like Jonah? Why did you not take the picture and say, "Today I feel like quitting"? Why? Because you don't want people to see the whole picture. You just want to stand there. "I'm praying down fire today." Okay. And when you ran to the cave and you lay there and all you did was watch television and your wife says, "What's wrong?" and you don't want to talk, why don't you post that? So I suggest next time you take a picture of your husband when he's there. You say, "This is the other side." Huh? Hello? Hello? Yeah. Amen. Great privilege to pray with all of you. Jesus loves you. God is with you. God cares about you. If you were the only person in this world, Jesus would have died for you. You need to understand this. It doesn't matter what you've done, how good you've been, how bad you've been. It doesn't matter. Jesus loves you. And he died because he loves you. And his blood erases every sin in your life and brings you home to the Father. I want you to put your hand on your heart tonight, all of you. Everybody say this tonight, in all the churches tonight, say this tonight. Say, "Lord Jesus, I give my life back to you. Thank you that you love me. You love me personally so much that you went to the cross and you died for me, for all my sin. You love me as I am. And today I ask you, forgive me all my sin. Wash me in your blood. Bring me back to my Father. Be my first love. Today, I commit myself to you. I give myself to you. My spirit, my soul, my body. I was lost, but now I'm home. Thank you for loving me and for accepting me and for washing me. I'm clean. I'm whole. I'm a child of God." In Jesus' name. Amen.